For some, professional sports are just about entertainment. But our guest today says sports also play a major role in America's conversations about race and social justice. Dave Zirin is a sports editor for The Nation magazine, and he told KUOW's Jeannie Yandel that Seattle athletes in particular have been outspoken on issues that go way beyond sports.
Some of the most interesting recent discussions about the Black Lives Matter movement happened between Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett, two players on your NFC champion Seattle Seahawks. They were able to debate out in a public sports forum the question of whether black-on-black crime should be the critical question facing black America, which was what Richard Sherman said, or whether there is a very specific social justice demand that the people that our taxes pay to protect us, the police, should not be people that a section of the population are afraid of. And that's what Michael Bennett argued. Now, this debate is happening in cafes, on college campuses, on street corners, all across the country. But when you have it out in the sports page, one of the things that it does is it severs the segregation that so often dominates our political discourse in this country. Because now all of a sudden, people who not only weren't privy to that debate, but didn't even have to care about that debate, all of a sudden hear it and are thinking about it and are wrestling with it.
Athletes can now speak directly to their fans, Twitter, Facebook. I mean, they don't really need a middleman with the sports media. So how do you think that direct access has changed this conversation about access, about a level playing field, about who can be an athlete and who can't?
Not having that middle person, I think, is historically absolutely huge, because not every sports writer is some resentful, conservative, angry, bitter, tobacco-stained wretch, but a lot of them are. And so when to not have to deal with that and to be able instead to be able to say, this is who I am, this is what I think, I mean, that in and of itself is a very powerful thing. And I'll tell you another thing, which is less discussed than the kind of historic resentments between sports media and athletes, which has been going on for as long as there's been a sports media. And that's the fact that athletes, particularly in the last 30 years as salaries have exploded, have basically been like individual corporations with legs. They have employees, they have middle people of their own, they have layers and layers of people around them, making them difficult to contact. And oftentimes, you have a situation where they think to themselves, hey, I'm very angry about this war, or I'm very angry about this policy, or I'm very angry about this kid being shot. I'm going to say something. And the middle people around them, whose responsibility is to protect the brand, calm them down, tell them to chill out. And what you have, though, with social media is that takes away their middlemen. And athletes, not to shock anybody, sometimes aren't the best when it comes to impulse control. So they feel something, they're thinking something, they want to share something. And oftentimes that really can have a strong effect on a movement.
In this country, professional sports are clearly dominated by men, but this summer, the Women's World Cup was watched by more than 25 million people in the United States. Here in the Northwest, we have two women's professional teams that are really popular, the Seattle Reign and the Portland Thorns. So what do you think needs to happen for women's professional sports to get the same attention as men's professional sports?
I think 2015 is going to be remembered as the year of women in sports. I think it is an absolute pivot point historically. And this really came to light for me when I was asked to name who my five must-see athletes were. Like, who are the athletes? If they're on TV, everything else gets deprioritized. And I had to name who they were as quickly as possible. And without thinking about it, without trying to be politically correct or anything like that, three of the five people I named were women. And that made me think. That made me think about, well, what's happening out there on a very sort of organic level that's changing, you know, now that we're, I think, two generations removed from Title IX. And when it comes to fans, I mean, it's as simple as, seriously, like, try. I mean, if you're missing the WNBA Finals, you're missing some amazing basketball. I think that like my son, who's 7, he watches it and he's jumping up and down in his seat and losing his mind, and he has no recognition that it's anything unusual that a 7-year-old boy would be watching the WNBA, and that's how it should be. Basketball should be basketball, which is what one of the things about sports that I think a lot of people love, because in it, I think people see almost like a seed of a kind of utopia, despite all the corporatism, despite all the militarism, despite everything about sports that drives us crazy. There's this kernel inside it that people think that if they treat it as precious as it is, it can bloom into something that actually brings us closer together.
Dave Zirin is sports editor for The Nation magazine. He spoke with Jeannie Yandel.